Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Wears Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would, please open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 18. Exodus chapter 18, this is God's word. Now Jethro, the priest of Midian and father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything God had done for Moses and for his people Israel, and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. After Moses had sent away his wife Zipporah, his father-in-law Jethro received her and her two sons. One son was named Gershom, for Moses said, "I've become an alien in a foreign land." And the other was named Eliezer, for he said, "My father's God was my helper. He saved me from the sword of Pharaoh." Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, together with Moses' sons and wife, came to him in the desert where he was camped near the mountain of God. Jethro had sent word to him, "I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons." So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. They greeted each other and then went into the tent. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships they had met along the way and how the Lord had saved them. Jethro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. He said, "Praise be to the Lord who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and of Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly." Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and other sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of God. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them the decrees and laws and show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform. But select some capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide for themselves. That will make your load lighter, because they will share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied." Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. Then Moses sent his father-in-law on his way, and Jethro returned to his own country. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Well, first of all, you remember Jethro? When Moses first escaped from Egypt, he went to work for his father-in-law. And he worked for his father-in-law for 40 years. Lived with him a long time. The man was a priest, but not... What that meant is that he knew there was a God and that he worshiped God and that he led others in the worship of God and that he offered sacrifices to God, but he really didn't have at all the kind of relationship with God that Moses would have with God. And yet, here in this story, we see how Moses was able to benefit from the wisdom, mature counsel of someone who didn't know the Lord as well as Moses did, but who was able to give an outsider's perspective, able to ask Moses a key question, and that is, what is this you're doing? We all sometimes need another person's perspective, another pair of eyes, somebody else to come along, take a look at what we're doing. And that's what God provided for Moses in this story. Now, look at the beginning of the chapter. It says, Jethro, the priest of Midian and father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything God had done for Moses and for his people Israel, and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. Now remember, this book, Exodus, is one of the books written by Moses. Please understand, this is very important. As Moses is telling us this story, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who's getting the credit for what happened? Jethro heard of everything God had done for Moses and for his people Israel, and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. He didn't hear of Moses' accomplishments, because they weren't Moses' accomplishments. What he heard was the testimony of what the Lord had done. Folks, if we give our testimonies properly, if we share our stories well, it's not that there won't be any of us in the story. It's that the hero of our story is God. My contribution to the equation was that I was the one who needed rescue. It's not about my intelligence or my goodness or my wisdom or none of that. It's about God's mercy, God's grace, God's wisdom, God's patience. Be sure that as you tell your story, God's the hero, including as you tell your story to yourself. And after Moses had sent away his wife Zipporah, his father-in-law Jethro received her and her two sons. Now there's a little question here as to when it was that Moses had sent his wife and sons away. Some suggest that this had happened only recently. It was sort of like, well, honey, why don't you go back and tell your dad about what had happened? That would be a very favorable spin on it. I think there's also good evidence that she was not really with Moses in Egypt when he was bringing the message to Pharaoh and the plagues were going on and all that. If you'll remember, the last time I recall seeing Zipporah, she had just thrown a foreskin at Moses' feet and spoken to him very harshly. Okay? So it's not entirely clear, at least not to me, when it was, but it says, after Moses had sent away his wife Zipporah, his father-in-law Jethro received her and her two sons. And so now, here comes the father-in-law bringing his daughter and grandchildren back to her husband, Moses, and saying, I'm bringing you your wife and kids. The father-in-law, acting as mediator, in my view, I think that's the best reading of the text, is the father-in-law is acting as mediator, and he's bringing the wife and children back. Now, there is an excellent reason why, apart from just marital strife, Moses might have been separated from his wife and children. And that is, he was going into a situation where God had promised to bring deliverance, but it was a life and death situation. Moses didn't have the details about how it was all going to work out. He just knew that in the end there was going to be deliverance. And he may well, as a soldier going off to the battlefield, doesn't take his wife and kids along. Sure, you can come. You know, you just don't do that when you're going into battle. That he would have left his wife and children behind. But in any case, the father-in-law is now coming with the wife and children. And we're reminded of the names of his sons. Gershom, which referred to his having become an alien in a foreign land. And then Eliezer. That was the one that was the little infant in the previous story. And Moses' father-in-law comes to where he was camped and sent word, "I'm coming." So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law. It doesn't say he went out to meet his wife and kids. Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down and kissed him. And they greeted each other and then went into the tent. And Moses began to tell his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and about all the hardships they had met along the way and how the Lord had saved them. And Jethro was delighted to hear about, here it is again, all the good things the Lord had done. And he said, verse 10, "Praise be to the Lord who rescued you and who rescued the people. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all other gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly." And so the consequence of this discussion is that it moves from testimony to worship. Having heard about what God has done to rescue his people, Jethro offers up sacrifices to God, and the leaders of Israel, Aaron comes and the elders of the various tribes come, and together they fellowship in an atmosphere of worship before the Lord. If our story is properly told, the consequence will be worship. People come to know the greatness of God and are moved to worship him. That is what we should want from our lives.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I've had the privilege of traveling to many beautiful places around the world, but my first trip to Israel, I felt as if I was coming home. The stories I had learned in childhood came alive as I visited the actual places where these events happened. The wonderful truth about our faith is that it isn't built on myths and make-believe. Christianity is grounded in the facts of history. To be able to walk in the places where Jesus walked, to look out over the beautiful Sea of Galilee, to enjoy the ancient city of Jerusalem, and pray on the Mount of Olives amid the ancient trees is an unforgettable experience. I took my wife and two of my children with me the first time I went to Israel. This time, I'd like to take you. Visit our website for complete details.
To learn more about this April 2019 travel opportunity with Jim Wood, visit wvr.org/Israel.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
The next day, verse 13, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people. And this is the part of the chapter that most folks tend to focus on. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. Now, what was the reason for that? Well, we're talking hundreds of thousands of people here. If you've got hundreds of thousands of people, Do you think you're going to have conflicts? It's an endless stream, and they're standing in line. And there was nowhere else to go. It wasn't like, well, if I don't like this place, I can go somewhere else down the street. No, this is it. This is the place. And so these folks stood in line all day long. They waited, they waited, they waited, they waited, and some of them are told, you're going to have to come back tomorrow. You know, we're out of time today. And so day after day, this is going on, and Moses feels like this is the best he can do. You know, he's got to deal with them one at a time. He's got to give everybody their... Have you ever had that happen at the doctor's office? You got a 1 o'clock appointment, and 3:30, you're still waiting to be seen? Man, that's frustrating. You wouldn't be there if you were feeling well. But this is what was happening here. This is an old problem. And so Moses is doing what he's been doing, what seems to him the only thing to do, and his father-in-law says, what is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening? Moses said, well, the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it's brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws. Moses' father-in-law replied, what you are doing is not good. Now, nobody likes criticism, but we all need it from time to time. And Moses' father-in-law was very straightforward. He didn't say, you might want to rethink that. He said, what you're doing is not good. There are some things that you're the only one who can do them. Those are the things you need to do. There are some other things that you're currently doing that you don't need to be doing. You need to get somebody else to do them. Been there, made that mistake, currently in the midst of it again. I guarantee it. Some of the stuff I'm doing right now, I'm doing because it got handed to me. And so what do I need to do? I need to do what Moses did. I need to say, this is going to go to you. This is going to go to you. This is going to go to you. And you need... Now, you know what happens in that situation? The people that I hand things to go... And so one of the things that happened here that's instructive for us is that they didn't just break it down to those who would be over thousands. They said, we're going to have some who are over thousands. We're going to have some who are over hundreds. We're going to have some who are over 50s and some who are over 10. In other words, there were layers of hierarchy, and with that, there was the ability for people to make decisions. People were empowered to make decisions. That's needed in all our lives. Let's suppose you're a parent. If your kids can't make a decision without your permission, your kids are not going to learn to make decisions. We've got to relinquish control as our kids get older in areas where it is not of eternal significance. And I'm sorry, but I kind of feel sometimes like my aesthetics are of eternal significance. And that's wrong of me. I don't want certain things that I don't like, but that other people might like, and I have to let it go. Now, if you're a parent, you need to relinquish increasingly, as your kids are getting older, some decisions to your kids. And if you are a kid, you need to understand that the better your decisions are in the things that are turned over to you, the more likely it is that you will be trusted to make more decisions of greater consequence, having proven your ability to make sensible decisions. Does that make sense? I remember when I was in eighth grade and I was invited to do something that I didn't really want to do, but I was hoping my dad would say I couldn't. And that way I could tell my friends, no, I can't, my dad won't let me. And so I came and I asked my dad, and he said, well, son, you need to pray about that and do whatever the Lord tells you. And I said, well, you don't want me to do it, do you? And he said, I really think it's better for you to pray about that and do whatever the Lord tells you. Well, I was just really frustrated because Dad had put the decision on me, and I knew Dad didn't want me to do it, and I knew that Dad was right, but I didn't want to have to take a stand. I didn't want to have to tell my friends, no, I'm not going to do that because I don't think that's a good thing. Instead, Dad forced me to make the decision, and that was the first of many. If you're a kid and you're entrusted with a decision, seek the Lord and make a good decision. You will make mistakes sometimes. Grown-ups do too. But seek the Lord and seek to do what the Lord would have you to do, what would please Him. Jesus says this, whoever is faithful in little will be faithful in much. Whoever is unfaithful in little will be unfaithful in much. Jesus also says, if you cannot be trusted to take care of that which belongs to someone else, then you will not be trusted with that which is your own. So every single one of us at every stage in our lives, if you're old enough to hear this message, you're old enough to have some things you're responsible to take care of. Clothing, for example. Do you take care of your clothes so that they can benefit somebody else when you outgrow them? Or do you think, I'm outgrowing this, I might as well go ahead and let it get torn up? Do you take care of your stuff? Think about it. Do you take care of the books that you've been given? All of us have stuff we're responsible for. And if we do a good job with the things we're responsible for, we can be entrusted with more. And Moses had to put that into practice by setting up a framework where people were responsible for various levels of judging. Okay? If it was a critical case, a really difficult case, still needed to come to Moses. But you know what? Most stuff isn't critical. Most decisions are really not that big. Most things are really not going to matter a year from now. Much less 5 years from now, much less 50 years from now, much less in eternity. It just doesn't matter that much. So don't stress over the small stuff. And remember, most of it, small stuff. Okay? So, Moses listened, verse 24, to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. What kind of people were they? Verse 21, capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain. In other words, people whose decisions would not be influenced by somebody trying to pay them off. You want people who are honest, who trust the Lord and seek to do what's right. I want all of you to be that kind of people. People who are trustworthy, who fear the Lord, and who would not be subject to bribery.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.